Just move your head from side to side if you want to breathe.
Like He-Man.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. Love, pain, glory. I'm Dave, joined by my lovely, painful,
I thought you were going to say I was a pain.
glorious co-host, Mr. Ryan.
Good enough, glorious.
And our tagline this week is love, pain, glory. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup at gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter at moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, you will pin down your own Movies on Up prize pack.
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Yep. This week, John Cena stars in Blockers with Leslie Mann and Ike Barinholtz. You know, we've done favorite rock movies, which could coincide with this list. I cut them off, but
I did too.
We thought wrestlers have a long history in movies, some decent, some not as good.
Some amazing.
Yeah. So we thought, let's do our favorite movies starring wrestlers in honor of Cena, who I think is, John Cena's an interesting one. If he would have come in the like mid-90s, he would be one of the biggest stars on the planet. In the time of Stallone and Schwarzenegger and Van Damme movies, John Cena's built for that. When he broke into the scene, they started trying to give him movies like that. Those movies aren't what they used to be. So now he's kind of transitioning into this funny guy and doing these comedies. I think people are going to see that he's funny, and now you're going to have these action comedies with him. I know he's got one coming out with Kumail Nanjiani to where it'll be like a buddy cop comedy. So he's taking a little different approach.
He's just taking basically The Rock. Okay, when he was doing Scorpion King, their careers.
Yeah, very similar.
Yeah.
Because
and that's a good blueprint to follow.
And they're both very likable. They're
and
both
then
funny.
In 16 years, Cena will be the president after The Rock has served two terms.
Yeah. We're doing our favorite movie starring wrestlers this week. Did you have any? Because there's different ways you can do it. Do cameos count? If it's just a brief cameo, did they have to star? Do they have to have a decent role? Did we count The Rock? I mean, obviously The Rock would count, but we've already
done. I left
done.
The Rock off because he has his own.
I did too, just because finding the five Rock movies I liked was pretty hard.
Yeah, you had a hard time doing that to start with. I mean, I would say that for the most part, the wrestlers in my movies, you're going to know that they're in there.
Yeah.
There's only one guy that is a wrestler. He had a good part in this movie, but there's a good chance that you don't know he's an actual wrestler. But I think that starring, or I would say featuring, I mean, if you wanted to put Randy Savage on from Spider-Man, Bonesaw.
Yeah, see, like, I tried to keep stuff like that, or even like Kevin Nash from Punisher, where he's just like a henchman.
Uh-huh.
And like MacGruber, I really wanted to put MacGruber.
Yes.
But that's all just cameos.
There's a fantastic scene, though.
I tried to keep off cameos.
Right.
And tried to keep it with mostly just starring, at least where you remember them.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you know they're in it. They may not be second or third or fourth build, but you know they're in it. So now that we got the criteria laid down, Ryan, jump off the top rope with your number five.
My number five does star a wrestler, but it also features a wrestler as a henchman. And if you're not paying attention, it could be easy to miss. But combined, the star and the henchman have 19 World Heavyweight Championships between them, and that's by far the highest number I have on my list. You're going to get a lot of championships when the movie stars Hulk Hogan, starring opposite Christopher Lloyd and Shelley Duvall, neither of which have ever won any kind of wrestling championship in their lifetime. It was Burt Kennedy's Suburban Commando from 1991. In the 80s and into the 90s, Hulk Hogan was synonymous with professional wrestling, and as a kid, I was absolutely in that wheelhouse. The Hulkster was and is my all-time favorite wrestler. And as a kid, I ate all his stuff up. I was the one guy that was watching Thunder in Paradise. Gremlins 2 was better for having Hulkamania threaten the little monsters. And Rocky 3 is still my favorite for Thunderlips and his WrestleMania tag team partner, Clubber Lang. With all of that being said, Suburban Commando was one of those movies to really function as a vehicle for Hollywood Hogan. He got to be a warrior. He got to have a little fun as well, show his sense of humor. And Chris Lloyd was a great straight man for Hogan to play off of. That's a formula that we see dozens of times a year. And as much as Hogan appealed to kids my age, I think this movie did a wonderful job of appealing to that core of Hulkamaniacs. You throw in a small role for The Undertaker as one of the space bounty hunters. He's the one with the really high-pitched voice. And I think you've really kind of pushed this movie over the top. When I think wrestler movies in the 1990s, Hogan's got a couple, but this is the one that I'm always going to kind of go to first.
Even when I was watching wrestling as a kid, I was never a Hulk Hogan fan.
You're too old for it.
I didn't really like his movies. Like, I saw No Holds Barred in the theater. I saw this. I saw Mr. Nanny, and I think those might be the only ones. This was my favorite of...
He was in one of the Three Ninjas sequels.
Yeah, but that was later. That was after his movie star run was over. This is my favorite of the Hulkster movies. My number five, I put it on the list because it's kind of a cool thing. It's Ed Wood from 1994, directed by Tim Burton, about Ed Wood and making of Plan 9 from Outer Space. Tor Johnson was in Plan 9 from Outer
Space.
It's
very meta.
Yeah, it's very, very meta. Because Tor Johnson was a wrestler who was in Plan 9 from Outer Space. So in Ed Wood, to play Tor Johnson, they got George the Animal Steel.
Who is basically a Tor Johnson clone.
Exactly. I like that. I like the movie. It's fun, Johnny Depp, and it's before Johnny Depp became what Johnny Depp is now. And it's when I still liked Tim Burton. I just thought this one was a cool one because it's like, oh, here's a wrestler paying homage to another wrestler in these movies. So it was very meta. I thought it was kind of perfect to kick off my list here.
Oh, for sure. And I don't think we're going to get any other George Animal Steel references today, so that'll work. My number four is about as film snobby as I get on my list. You could put a Darren Aronofsky movie on, you're going to go into film snobbery. And what Aronofsky movie are you going to put on a list about wrestlers other than The Wrestler from 2008, starring Mickey Rourke, Marissa Tomei, Evan Rachel Wood? Mickey Rourke was a boxer, not an actual wrestler, but Ernest the Cat Miller was a wrestler, and he played the Ayatollah in that movie. I wouldn't say that this stars an actual wrestler in Ernest Miller, but I do think it deserves a place on the list for a couple reasons. For starters, I think it's the most accurate description of how some wrestlers end their careers. Rourke's Randy the Ram has basically nobody left in his life. Too many years on the road, too little time at home has basically taken its toll on that. He's got little to no money and would seemingly do or risk anything for just a taste of his former life. And the scene where he's working behind a deli counter, I mean, it's heartbreaking to watch, but it's the wrestler is a phenomenal character piece. It just so happens that the guy is a former professional wrestler. And then you throw in former WCW-er Ernest Miller playing the Rams' nemesis, the Ayatollah, who is basically an Iron Sheik ripoff. He's certainly adjusted to retirement better than the Ram. I think he's got a car dealership he runs. But he gives a small and really believable performance, and I think that's probably because Ernest Miller has lived this, and he's seen probably friends live this over the course of his life. If you look and you need more recognizable wrestlers than Ernest Miller, the Ring of Honor scene where they're actually at a Ring of Honor show, you can see one half of the current Raw Tag Team Champion Cesaro in the background there, as well as some other guys that would roll through WWE.
My number four is not film snobbery. I think anytime you have a Rennie Harlan movie on a list, you rule out being considered a film snob. But it is from 2009, directed by Rennie Harlan, starring John Cena, the man of the hour. It is 12 rounds. Basically, the director of Die Hard 2 ripping off Die Hard 3, starring John Cena. That's what 12 rounds is. If this movie had come out 15 years earlier, it would have been a classic. It would have been a massive hit.
Rennie Harlan's getting a lot of run here over about the last 6 months.
He does, yeah.
He owes us a check.
Yeah. This is the kind of movie that John Cena was born for. If it were mid to late 90s, he'd have been a huge star. This was one of his first major theatrical releases, and this is them trying to birth him as this kind of action star. He's competent in it, but I don't really think they give him a chance to be that personality. And like with the Rock earlier role, they wanted him to just be this big beefy, and then
both of those guys have too much personality.
Yeah,
for
and
that.
Then like something like Get Shorty Sequel will be cool, where the Rock was very, you saw like, oh, he's funny. So they seem to keep making that mistake, but it's a competent action movie. And Aidan Gillen from Game of Thrones, fantastic villain, perfect kind of villain for this kind of movie. It's a simple enough plot where he's got to perform 12 tasks or else they kill his girlfriend. It's a dumb action movie. It's a brainless action movie, but it's a competent one, and he's good in it. Like, you do see glimpses of a movie star in this movie?
When I was putting my list together, usually I think of movies that fit the criteria, but in this time I was thinking of wrestlers. And then, okay, well, what movies were these guys in? For some reason, it was easier to organize my thoughts that way. And then when I came to the wrestler that's featured in my number three, I was like, oh, I got a couple ways I could go. When I say Jesse the Body Ventura, you think of two movies, I think, immediately, both of which feature Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I have to admit that I am a sucker for 1987's The Running Man. Predator, of course, being the other one. Running Man directed by Paul Mark Glazer, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Marita Conchita Alonso, Richard Dawson, Jesse Ventura. Four NWA titles for The Body. There is just no way I could leave off the former governor of Minnesota from this list. For me, The Running Man is what I love about Schwarzenegger is his cheesy one-liners. There aren't as many really in Predator. I think he's playing that more serious, but I love this version of Schwarzenegger. I mean, Predator had a really cool monster, but I think that the social commentary and snark of The Running Man fits me a little better. Great role for Jesse Ventura. He's playing the former athlete turned analyst, only instead of breaking down NFL footage, it's blood sport. He ends up getting involved in the plot, kind of taking off the tie and killing a man himself. So you kind of see that guy just being forced out of retirement. But you mentioned Littlefinger. Richard Dawson is an amazing villain to play opposite Arnold Schwarzenegger. Aidan Gillen is kind of the complete opposite of John Cena. Richard Dawson is the complete opposite to Arnold Schwarzenegger. But he is so wonderful as this scumbag TV exec slash host. I think he knew the kind of character he was being asked to play. He knew that person in real life. And I think he was able to do such a wonderful job of being such an unlikable villain, but one that we could actually see existing. At the moment, this movie is very much over the top. We don't have state-sanctioned blood sport on television. And we may or may not even get there. But Damon Killian is a guy that I'm pretty sure is working in television right now.
This was like I had with an asterisk. It was going to be my number three if Running Man didn't make your list.
Yeah.
Predator is the better movie, but I put this one on there because I feel like Ventura was better in this. He had more to do, and it was more fun. It let everybody's personality come out more because Predator just played it straight, because
that's an Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
movie.
It was a good. I love Predator. I don't love Running Man, but I like it, and I liked Ventura in it. So that was kind of gonna be my number three if you didn't have it. Instead, my number three is from 1987, directed by Rob Reiner. It is The Princess Bride, starring Cary Elwes, Mandy Patinkin, Robin Wright, and Andre the Giant is Fezzik. This movie is one of those that's. It almost feels like a sketch movie. Because everybody has memories of this movie, and they may not be connected. I haven't watched this movie from front to back in a long, long time.
You don't
time.
Need to.
I know I've seen it a million times, but I can just pinpoint the fight with Patinkin, like the Andre the Giant scene, the
Inconceivable.
Yes.
Wallace Shawn.
The Wallace Shawn scene. I can picture all of those. I know I've seen them all a million times. I can't, in my head, remember exactly what order they go on, but Andre the Giant. He's
second of those two.
Yeah, like he's not the star of the movie. He's not even the main antagonist in the movie. But if you think of, hey, who's in The Princess Bride? Chances are more people remember Andre the Giant was in it than Robin Wright.
Yeah.
Like, and she's
the Princess Bride. Yeah.
But I think a lot of people don't remember that, oh, Claire Underwood was the Princess Bride. So I think Wallace Shawn and Andre the Giant and Patinkin. I think people might not remember that's Mandy Patinkin, but
right. But they know
the
Inigo Montoya.
Yeah, they know the character name. But when you think of people in it, I think Andre the Giant's going to be the second or third name that people come up. The average person,
probably before Cary Elwes.
Yeah, probably.
This is where we're going to probably end up with some crossover. It is my number two. Only one heavyweight title for the eighth wonder of the world, Andre the Giant. If you've listened to this podcast for more than about a week, you're going to know my number one and two. It's not going to be a surprise. I've often said how much I love The Princess Bride, and I think a lot of folks my age feel the same way. This year, I think it's this year, HBO is doing a documentary on Andre the Giant, and I cannot wait to watch. But from what I know of Andre, I think he was probably the only person on the planet that could have played the role of Fezzik, the gentle giant. you mentioned the scene where he fights Wesley. I love that. He starts talking about, if I wanted to kill you, I'd just hit you in the head with this rock, but you know, I kind of want it to be a fair fight. And they have their back and forth. Wesley has his back and forth with everybody. But his with Andre, I thought was really, really good. You see a guy who's basically of normal stature, just absolutely dwarfed by this 500-pound, 7-foot guy. And then you add in Andre's sense of humor, where he seems genuinely sorry about having to kill this guy. And Wesley says, well, I'm sorry that you got to kill me too. I love this movie. It's one of the first that came to mind. You mentioned Inigo Montoya gets a lot of run in this movie. He's got a lot of the t-shirts and pins nowadays. You know, you killed my father, all that kind of stuff. It's great. But one of the first things I think of when I think of The Princess Bride is Andre the Giant. The guy's basically a real life fantasy character. Perfect casting here. It was a great role for him. It didn't seem like, oh, we just need to cast a professional wrestler. Oh, we're going to have a giant. Here's this guy. And he fit the movie like a six-fingered glove.
I don't know how we've not done a Princess Bride episode, to be honest with you.
That's coming.
Yeah. My number two, another one that wouldn't be surprising. Our number one is going to be obvious crossover.
Yes.
If you've ever heard us talk. But my number two, I don't think is any kind of surprise. It is from 2014, directed by James Gunn. It's Guardians of the Galaxy. Dave Bautista in there is Drax. And there was a long, long process to get Star-Lord before you landed on Chris Pratt, who was on his way up. You got Bradley Cooper and Vin Diesel, probably the two biggest names in the movie at the release, as just voices. Zoe Saldana, who people know. There's a lot going on. And I remember when Bautista was cast, because people weren't as super into it. But I like what they did with him, because Drax is just this beefy killing machine. And Bautista could pull that off. You know, you think...
He looks the part.
Yeah, when you think of people just based on looks, like, okay, I could see Bautista as a Bond henchman, which he's done.
He has done that.
But they didn't do that. They didn't just be like, oh, just be there, be beefy, and beat people up.
Put your thumbs in the guy's eyeballs.
They turned Drax into the comedic portion of the movie. I mean, in a movie that's got a lot of comedy.
That stars Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I think Drax
Dave
carries
Bautista
a lot of
the laughs.
And he does really, really well. Maybe they exploited that a little too much in Volume 2.
Yeah.
I think they let Drax joke a little too much, whereas his jokes in the first one felt natural. In the second one, they felt a little forced. But either way, he's doing well. He's pulling it off. He's doing the physicality of it, which I don't think anybody questioned that. But he is pulling the comedy in. And what I like the first one is that you have that anger and that pain from losing his family. Like, they didn't really address that in the second one, but you see his need to destroy Thanos, and I'm hoping he has a big part in Infinity War, because he does get to face off against Thanos. And I thought it was really good casting, and they pulled it off. They didn't play it safe, and they took a chance with him. And you see that a lot, where, you know, The Rock, really good at comedy. John Cena, that's where he's going now, comedy. Dave Bautista has shown comedic chops. And the number one thing in comedy is timing. If you perform live for decades, you have to have good timing. So yeah, it may be wrestling, they're not cracking jokes, but that is 100% timing related. Everything they do in wrestling has to be timed perfectly. So I think that's why you see so many wrestlers transition over to comedy so well, is that they know how to have perfect timing.
Bautista might be a guy that is probably universally beloved more out of the ring than he was in the ring. On the mic in WWE, not great. But he was great in Guardians of the Galaxy. I enjoyed him in Spectre just because I love everybody in a Bond movie. I thought he was really good in Blade Runner too, which he was not a Bond henchman. He was not cracking jokes. That character doesn't appear in the movie all that much. But I thought he was really good in that role. I left Bautista off because I had a feeling Dave might put a Guardians movie on, and I'm glad he did. Our number one, talk about guys that maybe weren't good on the mic in WWE. One of the best all time. You know, the guys now, Chris Jericho, CM Punk, all these guys basically are reading from the Bible of Rowdy Roddy Piper. And this is, again, one of my all-time favorite movies as well, starring Keith David, Meg Foster. It is John Carpenter's They Live. 12 heavyweight titles for Hot Rod. Without the Joker, there can be no Batman. Without Batman, the Joker would be bored. Roddy Piper was the Joker to Hulk Hogan's Batman, but at least on my list, the Joker gets the top spot. There's absolutely no earthly reason that this movie needs to be led by a pro wrestler. You have to have Andre the Giant and Princess Bride. Suburban Commando was basically built around Hulk Hogan. Yeah. It would have been just as easy for John Carpenter to call up his buddy Kurt Russell to headline this movie. But Carpenter said in an interview with The Nerdist a couple years back, before Piper's passing, that he needed a blue-collar everyman that was kind of down and out. And it doesn't get much more blue-collar than Kurt Russell, but somehow Piper was still the man for the job. While he's not an incredible actor per se, his charisma, which served him so well promoting his matches and his wrestling career, really carries him through this movie. Another one of his in-ring skills led to one of the more memorable moments in this movie for me. He choreographed the entire fight scene with Keith David. It is brutal. It lasts way longer than many televised wrestling. Right. Because they want you to focus on what these two guys beating the shit out of each other. It's a better wrestling match than most of what you're going to see on Raw next week. This movie's got Piper's fingerprints all over it, from the one-liners. Yeah, I came here to do two things, to kick ass and chew bubble gum. I'm all out of gum. It's one of my favorite movies ever, so it had to be. I mean, it's atop a lot of lists I do, but if we're doing a list about professional wrestlers in movies, this movie stars a professional wrestler, and it's one of my favorites, so no question.
Yeah, this is number one, and I feel like Hell Comes to Frogtown could have been on either of our lists.
That would have been the snarky pick, yeah, I think.
If we didn't go with They Live. I love this movie. It's a great movie. We love John Carpenter. We talked about Last Starfighter being one that's like prime for a remake last week. I feel like this movie could easily be remade because I feel like this was ahead of its time also, especially now with everybody's watching you and the Analytica
stuff.
Duplicity
of things.
Yeah. He's really, really fun in this movie. It could have been carried by any actor, any movie star, but he brings that extra charm to it, and it was a risk for John Carpenter to do it. And it paid off. I mean, people still watch this movie, still talk about this movie. People know what They Live is, the bubblegum line. That's one of those that people know it. They
don't
may
know
not know
where
it's from, but it was an easy number one. All my also-rans have been mentioned already.
You know, we mentioned MacGruber last week. That would have been an also-ran. I love Pain and Gain, so if I was doing Dwayne Johnson movies, that would be on here. We've already mentioned Guardians and Spectre. Warrior, Kurt Angle plays one of the MMA fighters. It's not a big enough role. Obviously, I love that movie, so if I get a chance to mention it, I will. I could have sat down for hours and done this with a ton of also-rans, but I mean, in my also-rans, I legit like. MacGruber is the one that I don't know why we haven't done a MacGruber episode. I think that's woefully underrated.
Yeah, no, I love that movie, and I just think it's Cena's been getting tries. Like, 12 Rounds was 9 years ago, and I think that was one of his early ones. Now I feel like he's just now to that point where he's going to break. I feel like he's going to be in a string of hits from here.
He was good in Trainwreck.
He was great in Trainwreck. Oh. A little smaller of a role, so I didn't put it in here. And then you look back to, like, there were a few wrestlers that were bigger than Stone Cold Steve Austin during his heyday. His movie career.
Yeah. Not that good.
No, not that good, and failed out. He was one that they kept trying to do the action movie with.
That was his persona. Stone Cold does not have the sense of humor.
Yeah, he flamed out where The Rock and Cena and Batista, they're doing different stuff. Because Batista has a heart. Like, he was in, I don't know the name of it, some random movie I saw on Netflix where he's in like a war-torn thing. He's getting Brittany Snow across the town, like in during wartime or so. I don't remember. He was good in that. There was heart. Like, he was still kicked people's ass, but there was depth to it. But that's it. Next week, I forget what next week's episode is.
I see what you did there.
Next week, that terrible Overboard remake comes out. Not even a good original movie, and this one looks even worse.
Can't get a Last Starfighter remake, but we'll get an Overboard
with
remake.
Anna Faris and Eugene Debrev or whatever his name is. Yeah, Overboard comes out. That's about a dude the new one is about a dude that hits his head and can't remember, so Anna Faris tricks him into being her husband, because that's not creepy at all. It wasn't creepy when Kurt Russell did it. Mm-hmm. It is creepy. But we're doing our favorite Amnesia movies. That'll be an interesting list, because that was kind of hard to come up with, because there's so many angles you can go with it. But so we'll be back next week for what was the episode? Anyway, we'll be back next week. Until then,
keep it up.